Welcome back, Karen. Nice to see you again. Karen's been in Canada for the last 8 months, 7 months. Great to see you back. Okay, tonight's sermon. This is not time, so let's get started. The sermon title is God's Heart with the Apopleken and My Heart with a Question Mark. Now, where do you get your ideas of love from? You know, is it Seven Delan or Isidingo, or where love is portrayed as jumping into bed with someone? Is it, the Hollywood magazines that shows you that this couple got married today and got divorced next day and got married 3 days later and the son that is 10 years old also wants to get married now? Well, maybe you're lucky, and I was really lucky. I've got godly parents, and I got my example from love from them, but they're not perfect. You know, they're also irritated or have bad days. So tonight I'm going to talk about my heart, your heart, God's heart. Where do they connect? So before we start, let's just pray. Father, we want to thank you for this evening, Father. Father, thank you that we can spend time with you, Father. Father, I just pray, Father, that you will anoint my lips, Father, and that only your heart's desire, Father, only your words will come from them. Father, I am your servant, Father, and have your way through me, Father. Father, I just pray, Father, that your peace will come down on this place, Father, that we really experience your presence, Father, really experience you here, Father. That tonight, Father, we will be changed, not because of a sermon or because of worship, Father, but because of your presence, because of you, Father. Father, we're here because we want to spend time with you, because we want to get to know you better, Father. Have your way in this place, Father. You are the guest of honor, Father. You're the one that everything turns around, Father. Amen. Okay, I'm really excited about this word. The first service was a bit strenuous, but this is the second time. Okay, let's start with Matthew 22, verse 37. Now, as you all know, the Sadducees come to Jesus and they actually want to catch him out. So they ask him a trick question. And he gives them a great answer. And now the Pharisees come and they're like, we're more clever. So they want to catch Jesus up and they ask him a trick question. What is the most important commandment in the Bible? The Bible actually says that it is a lawyer who comes and asks Jesus this question. And this is Jesus' answer. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And second, like this is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, who here loves the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? I don't. I want to, but I'm not there. Who loves our neighbors as we love ourselves? I don't. But if we just get practical, you know, who's our neighbor? Yes, it is the federal attendant who cheats us out of that one rand. Yes, it is the lady at the counter that we can pay. Yes, it is the stormer supporter that lives next door that makes such a noise. You know, our neighbor is the person that we get around with, we speak to, we get into contact with. Not necessarily somebody we love, it's just people that surround us. And Jesus said that the biggest commandment is love God with all our hearts, all our souls, all our minds, and we should love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, tonight I want to speak to you a little bit about this. The first one is we should love the Lord God with all our hearts. Now, in Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. You know, from our heart comes our ambition. We want to achieve that. We want to go there. We want to be that. Also, the desires. Want to drive that car. Want to marry that woman. All of that comes from our hearts. And it's great to have an ambition. It's great to wanting to achieve. It's great to, you know, have dreams and go for them. But it's not great if that has a priority in our heart. You know, I'm really struggling with this. You know, I've got a beautiful wife and two lovely kids, you know, Daniel and Joshua, and I sometimes give them more attention than I give God. Sometimes spend more time with them than I spend with God. And you know, God we'll tackle it now. God is a jealous God. He's jealous for our time. He's jealous for our attention. He's jealous for us. Can I get that? Amen. Luke 6, verse 45 says, a good man brings forth good. A good man brings good forth out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings evil forth out of the evil stored up in his heart. For what the mouth speaks, the heart is full of. That which we give priority in our hearts, that is what's going to come out of our mouth. That's what our minds will be meditating upon. That's what's going to take up all our energy, and we won't be able to get out to, you know, get to God. We'll struggle to, you know, if you want to get engaged, you know, all your energy, all your time, all your everything will just be focused on, is this the right ring? When will be the right time? What will be the right way? You know, how can I do it? And that is all great. But if that takes priority over God, it does not. There's lots of scriptures, so I hope you brought your pens and your papers. John 15, verse 12 says, my commandment is this, love each other as I have loved you. Tough one. Love each other as I have loved you. Well, how did Christ love us? He loved us so much that He laid down His life for us. He loved us so much that He gave His best. You know, and there's so much that we don't know about the Bible. So much that we can, you know, spend time and really fast and really focus on this and really, you know, go into what the end days will be like or, you know, seek revelation. But I want to tell you that, you know, if you don't do what you already know, you know, don't go and seek other stuff so that you can know that but still not do that either. Spend your time on really doing that which you already know. And this we know. Love each other as I have loved you. Verse 13. Greater love has no man than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Laying down your life for someone else. Now, let's just press pause there for a second. If you have your pen in your hand and you've got your exam pad or your book in front of you, and you're going to drop down, you know, these 5 steps or these 10 points so that you can get it right, I want to tell you, relax. I want to specifically pray with you after the service, because this is not about what you can achieve. This is not about how you're going to make it work. It's allowing God to come and work through you. It's allowing God to come and do this through you. As you said in the beginning, it is impossible to love God perfect. It's impossible to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. But through God, nothing is impossible. Him in us can make it happen. So there's 7 steps, well, not 7 steps, 7 points that I would like to highlight tonight. These are 7 aspects of God's love. There are hundreds more. I just chose the 7 because I don't have time for hundreds, but these are ones that had an impact on my life and still do. So the first one is, God's love is everlasting. Amen. That's a really quiet. This is good news. Okay, Jeremiah 31 verse 3. Now, Jeremiah is a prophet. Now, Jeremiah 31 was written after Israel was taken captive to Babylon. Now, cities was destroyed, people were killed, it was war, Babylon came and took everyone that has value. You know, everyone that they can use as slaves. So, the people that was left behind were the wounded, the elderly, the very young, the people that couldn't make the trip or either had no value to make the trip. So this is what God comes and tells them. Now, remember, your country has just been overrun by Babylon. You have very little resources. Most everything that had value was taken. Your food, your gold, your weapons, everything was pretty much taken away. Most of the people were taken away. So it's only, as I said, the elderly, the soldiers that was wounded, the very young, people that couldn't make the trip was left behind. And this is what God comes and says through Jeremiah the prophet. The Lord has appeared to me from afar, saying, yeah, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and therefore with love and kindness I have drawn you near. I have drawn you. The city is in ruins. There's nothing to live for. And God comes and He says, my love has drawn you closer. You know, God, you know, it doesn't matter how they messed up and doesn't matter how many people were taken away, God still loved them. God still left a remnant, still left a group. And He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And this is what He wants to tell us tonight, that He has loved us with an everlasting love. Second one is unmerited. Now, when I started up, I actually put there unconditional. But it's not unconditional. The condition is Christ. But it's unmerited in the fact that there's nothing we can do to deserve it. You know, there's nothing we can do to pay Him back. It's unmerited. We can read 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that while we were... lost my place. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. There is nothing you can do to deserve to be called son by God. You know, He is so amazing, so awesome. He's the reason that we live. He's the one that made this planet we walk upon. And He calls us sons. But as I said, only through Jesus Christ. The next one is demonstrative. Demonstrative. Okay, Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrated His love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know the saying that you can work without loving, but you can't love without working. You know, love is not a feeling, love is a verb, it's an action, it's something you show. You know, it's something you live out. And God loves us so that He shows it. He lives it out. There's evidence everywhere. And you know, it's something personal. You know, that you know, Christ died for you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and me. It's not something long ago that happened 2,000 years ago. It's still valued today. You know, Christ died for me. Christ died for you. That leads us to the next one. God's love is giving. And I really struggle with receiving. 2 months ago, my wife was in a car crash. I told you the story, I hope. Yeah, well, many of you were here. She rode off the car, and she didn't wear a receiving seatbelt, so she hit the steering wheel with her mouth. Rushed her off to ER, and there was just lots of bills, you know. Maxed out the credit card right there, and then that's when you discover that your medical aid doesn't pay for that, and doesn't cover this, and doesn't have, yeah, anyway. But anyway, somebody comes in, and they bless us financially. And the first thing that jumps in my head is, I'm the man of the house. I need to provide for my wife, you know. And it's like, man, why can't I, you know, look after my wife? It's just, you know, God just came and just told me that, you know, He provides whichever way He wants to. Whether it's through salary, whether it's through somebody that wants to bless you, you know, He's a God that loves to give. Where's Natalie? She was here earlier. Anyway, she told me the story about a few weeks ago. She came and she showed me this really, really nice cell phone. There she is at the back. 8. What's your camera? 8? 8 megapixel camera. Really brilliant camera. And her father, she didn't ask for it. Her father just one day came and just gave it to her. You know, that's God. He just sometimes wants to bless us. He just sometimes wants to give us stuff. Amen? And, you know, sometimes, yes, you can't afford a car and He has a purpose for you to go and drive somewhere every day and someone will come and give you a car. You know, I'm not preaching prosperity teaching you or anything, but sometimes God, He's a dad, and He wants to bless His kids. Romans 8, verse 20, verse 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? The next one I want to touch on is sacrificial. I had the privilege to Monday be at Melanie and Sifiso's wedding. It was an amazing event. You know, and Sifiso made a point of honoring his father. And it was really, many of us were you know, had tears in our eyes and just wanted to cry. And one of the stories he told us was that his father, for 20 years, drove the same car. You know, the family made jokes about the limousine and everything, but for 20 years, he drove the same car. Not because he couldn't afford another one. He could. But he decided to put his family first. Pay for their education, pay for their needs, look after them first. And he put his own desires on the back burner. It was sacrificial. He gave up that which he wants so that he can look after someone else. And that's the God we serve. I love my parents, but only now I really start to appreciate them. You know, it's very easy to, you know, I know they paid for 12 years of schooling. Yes, I know they looked after me and they fed me and they, you know, cost lots of money to be big like this. But, you know, only now that I have two sons, do I start to have a glimpse of what it is to live for someone else, to sacrifice for someone else. You know, sacrifice money, sacrifice time, sacrifice sleep, sacrifice your own desires, you know. Now let's go to Botswana and stay in a tent for 2 weeks. Great. But what about them, you know? Giving up your own desires for your kids. And parents do that constantly. And that's what God did. His love is sacrificial. Now I need to find my place again. 1 John 3 verse 16. Hereby we perceive the love of God because He laid down His life for us. Sacrificing, laying down. It wasn't taken. He, you know, Christ knew what He was doing. He laid down His life for us. Next one, forgiving. You know, this is an interesting one. This afternoon, I came here, prayed up, prepared for the sermon, you know, focused. And somebody comes and leans on me. And immediately, I'm irritated. Like this. And man, you know, we as people, we mess up. Amen? Luckily, God doesn't. Now, the verse that I've got here is Psalm 86, verse 5. For You, Lord, are good, ready to forgive, abounding in loving kindness to all who call upon You. Now, just that first part, are good and ready to forgive. This is not just, yeah, I'm ready to go to work tomorrow. The ready they speak about here is actually standing in the blocks, waiting for the gun to go off so they can jump out and go run the 100 meters. Muscles tense, you know, ready. I love to play rugby. And the worst part of the whole game is that 5 seconds, you know, the ball is placed. Both teams are ready, but you're just waiting for the ref to blow that whistle. It always feels like hours, but it's only like maybe 5 seconds. And that waiting, that anticipation for that whistle to go, that is the God we serve. Waiting, ready to go. You know, the road I travel to get to work, I stay quite far out of town on a farm. So I take the old Bronco Spray Road and then on Stratum and then I jump onto the N4. Now there's lots of taxis where I drive. And you know, you get awesome Christian taxi drivers that play gospel out of the windows. But you get some guys that drive bad. And, you know, especially, I used to take my wife's Ford Fiesta, the two-door, the small one. And then they're not afraid of you. And now you drive. And what God speaks about is, you see the taxi, you see the person jumping out, you 20 meters from them, and you see they're going to turn in front of you, and you're waiting, you know, you're waiting, and he turns in front of you, now I can forgive him. Yeah? Unfortunately, that's not the way we wire, but that is the way God's wired. You know, He sees us, He sees, you know, you are walking past the station elevator. What's the station elevator in English? taste never ate. Bakery. Home industry, whatever. Bakery. And you see that piece of cake. And you walk past, and God sees you, you see that chocolate cake. And he knows it's your second one for the day. And he told you not to have any of that anymore. And you still walk in there and still buy it. And God is like, okay, when is he going to ask me for forgiveness? When? Now I can forgive him. You know, that is the God we serve. Amen? Now the second verse, or the second line. Abundance in love and kindness. You know, this love and kindness actually comes from the word hashid. That means more than we expect, more than we want. I had to go through the process of applying to buy a new car now with the previous one being written off. And now imagine this. You know, banks are a nightmare. Now you go to the bank and you say, Mr. Bank Manager, I want to borrow 50,000 Rand to buy a car. And he says, okay, sit here. It's going to take about 2, maybe 3 hours. But so long. Here's a cappuccino. There's some Lindt chocolates on the side. What is your favorite magazine? Okay, I'll quickly jump out and get it for you. 2 minutes later, he comes back, gives you the magazine. He says, okay, you quickly go start the process. He's still busy spinning your cappuccino. He comes back. He says, it's done. You're like, what? He says, yeah, your application is done. Unfortunately, you can't qualify for a loan because you've got really bad credit record, but here's 50,000 Rand anyway, just because you've been a client for so long. Now, that is hashid. More than you expect, more than you want. And that is the God we serve. Amen? Okay, this is not up here, but in 2 Samuel 9, we read about King David. Now, the Bible says that King David was a man after God's heart. Now, King David just took over the reins from the previous generation. Jonathan and King Saul is killed, and David is king now. Now, if you are king and you took over from another family, you will wipe out that whole family to make sure in 10 years' time, 20 years' time, 30 years' time, there's nobody that can come back and try and reclaim the throne. Now, David hears that one of Jonathan's sons are still living. A guy called Mephibosheth. Now, all the males were killed because they were soldiers. Now, Mephibosheth was, as a baby, was dropped. So he had, I'm not sure if he's paralyzed or just had a limp, but he was, he couldn't run. So he wasn't a soldier. And when David took over the throne, he ran away or was carried away. Now, okay. Now, Mephibosheth hears that King David has sent out spies and guys to come and fetch him. And he's afraid because he knows what's coming. You know, his head will be chopped off because his grandfather tried to kill King David, didn't succeed, but now King David is coming after him. And I said, it was common knowledge that the king would kill everybody that was from a previous king's family. And eventually, King David's spies get Mephibosheth, takes him back to the palace, and he's afraid. And he sits there in the palace, and you know what happens? King David comes in, he says, you are Jonathan's son. I had a covenant with your father, and therefore I will honor it through you. Gave him back all the property of his grandfather, Saul. Put a place at his table and says, you don't eat anywhere else, you eat with me at my table. You don't stay anywhere else, you stay with me in my castle. That is abundance of love and kindness. That is hashid that they speak about. The next one I quickly want to touch on is jealous. You know that God reveals himself to us through a couple of names. Well, one of the ways he reveals himself to us is through calling himself names. You know, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Jehovah Nisi is the Lord our banner. And one of the words that he uses is Jehovah Kana, which means the Lord who is jealous. So if we read Exodus 34, verse 14. You shall worship no other gods, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. And this is not a jealousy for, as I said in previous service, Sean's bike. I like that bike. Won't last on the gravel road, but it's a nice bike. It's not that kind of jealousy. It is like I'm jealous for my wife. If I hear somebody spoke badly to her or slapped her or anything like that, I will come down on them like a ton of bricks. You know, I will hurt them because it's my wife. And the same way with my kids. You know, if somebody does something to my kids, you know, they'll be sorry. And that is the jealousy that God has for us. We're his kids. He doesn't allow anybody to come and mess with his sons and his daughters. He's a jealous God. But now, just to turn it to us, you know, are we jealous for God and for the things of God? What do we do if somebody blasphemes in the office or in the classroom? What do we do if, are we jealous for God and for God's things? John 2 verse 13, we read about just before the crucifixion, Christ comes into Jerusalem and all the people are for him and they lay down reeds in front of him and just making a huge scene and they're just, you know, singing songs and he comes into town and the first thing he goes to the temple. Once he's at the temple, he sees that there's people exchanging money and there's people selling doves and sheep and all kinds of things and what does he do? He just had all the people were just singing his praise now. He goes, sits down, he makes a whip. It wasn't something he just reacted on, it was something he planned. He made a whip, went back into the temple, turned over the tables, chased the people out. Because he was jealous for the things of his father. He was jealous for God and for the things of God. You know, just after that they crucified him. And the whole city, who 3 days earlier sing his praise, now shouts, crucify. But it doesn't matter what people say, it doesn't matter what people think. He was jealous for God and for the things of God. Can I ask the ushers just to get their communion, please? But now the good news. You know, it is these 7 points. Let me just quickly read them out for you. Everlasting, unmerited, demonstrated, giving, sacrificial, forgiving, and jealous. It's impossible for us to live that out. It's impossible for us to live that out perfectly. But Romans 5 verse 5 says, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. It's impossible for you, but it's not impossible for the Holy Spirit who is within you. Amen? It's not up to you. I spoke to Heinrich, which is our district pastor. He's over Pretoria and Joburg and Secunda and Stanaton. And he explained it, it's like breathing out. You know, it's not about trying to keep your breath or trying to do something. It's literally just about breathing out and allowing God to come and take control. Allowing God to be in that place. You guys can start to hand out the communion, please. But now if we look at Matthew 22 verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And second, like this, is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Yes, it is impossible for me. Yes, it is impossible for you. But with the Holy Spirit within us, it is not impossible anymore. You know, I can still love that former supporter. And just in closing, the last verse, 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 5 says, and may the Lord direct your heart into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. May the Lord direct your heart. It's not up to us. We should just allow God to come and direct our hearts into the love of God. I used to quite often volunteer at Kaisa Coffee Ace, which is a soup kitchen here in Pretoria. And it became a thriving thing, you know. Every Wednesday I would go there and we would serve people on the street and it became something that I did. Not something that God did. And it really made my heart hard. Because you see the same people there week after week, and this week you will pray for them for work, and then you will hear, you know, the whole week they were laying on the stoop drinking. And next week you will come and, you know, this guy just found a job, but, you know, he messed up, he was drunk and duty again, or was using drugs on duty, and he was got fired again. You know, when you try to love people like that, it's tough. And most of the time, you won't make it. But if you ask God to come and show you that person, you know, what does it look like in God's eyes? You know, God loves that person so much that he was willing to give his son for that person. And it's much easier to love someone when you see that person through Christ's eyes instead of your own. And that's what tonight's all about. Just allowing God to come and love people through us. I'll just wait a second for the guys to hand out the communion. Can I just ask us all to please stand? Did everybody receive the emblems? Anybody still short bread? Okay, here in front. In the first service, everybody was like serious and very depressed and looking like you guys. You know, the communion is a feast. In the old times, it was a feast. It was celebrating. You know, Christ died on the cross, and we don't. We don't need to go to the cross. You know, little Daniel has, he's almost three. He has got these little gospel DVDs, and one of them on the cross. And you know, the first time he looked at it, he says, he saw Jesus hang on the cross, and he says, "Ek wil nie in die kruis hang nie." You know, and we could just tell him, you know, you don't need to hang on the cross. Christ did it for you. You know, we don't need to hang on the cross, because Christ already did it for us. We're almost finished. Father, we just want to thank you, Father. Father, thank you that you're a good dad. Father, thank you that, Father, you saw our sin, Father, you saw our fallenness, Father, and you saw that we can't make it by ourselves, Father. And you came and you sent your son, you sent your best, Father, so that we don't need to die, so that we can have a relationship with you, Father. Father, so therefore, Father, we thank you, Father, that your son's body was broken so that ours doesn't need to be broken. Your son died on the cross so that we can have life, Father. Father, we just come and thank you, Father. We celebrate, Father, that we can have a relationship with you, Father, because you made the way. Let us eat together. Father, Father, in the same way, just thank you for your son's blood that still testifies of our debt that has been paid. Thank you that Jesus died on the cross and his blood was spilled for us. That you, being a righteous God, paid our fine. Father, we just thank you, Father, for the blood of your son that was spilled for our iniquities. Let's drink together. Father, thank you that you're the one that came and made the way for us to come into your presence, Father. Father, just thank you, Father, that you already won the victory and we just need to enforce it. Thank you that we don't need to go out and strive, but we can, Father, just come and sit at your feet and and just go where you're going. Just do what we see you doing. Father, thank you for your word that says, Father, that your burden is light. Your yoke is soft. There's a couple of people I just want to pray with tonight, really. As I said in the first service, when I prepared the word, I really feel there's a couple of men, specifically. But if you're a woman and you feel the same way, you're welcome to respond as well. But there's a couple of men who, whenever you pray for God's favor, you get God's favor. You pray for that promotion, you pray for that test, and when God comes through, you want to repay God. You wanna pay Him back. You go into that achieving mode. You constantly feel guilty for what God has done for you. And I just wanna specifically pray with you. Just be able to see God's heart. Just be able to see, God is like your Father. And you can never pay your Father back for your schooling or for your roof over your head and a bed to sleep in, and the clothes you wear. And the same way God wants to tell us that He's our Father and He loves us and we don't need to pay Him back. We can't pay Him back. So if you're one of those guys that really have that striving thing, can I ask you to be as bold, just to come to the front. We would love to pray with you. Love to just trust God for that breakthrough. That thing where the mind knowledge becomes the heart knowledge. And there's also a second group of people that, as I said, I was really privileged to have a father that represented God and a mother that represented God. But if you come from a place where you struggle to relate to God because of the examples that you have of a father, if you never had a father, or if you struggle to relate to a God that is good, God's love that is giving, that is sacrificial, that is everlasting, I also would just love to pray with you. I'm going to dismiss this service. But I just please ask, if you're one of those people also that should have responded to the prophecies before the service, please don't go home before you met with God. If you want us to pray with you, you're more than welcome. If you just want to sit in your seat and spend time with God, you're more than welcome. God is here to bring healing. God is here to come and set free. Amen. Father, we just want to thank you, Father, for time well spent in your presence, Father. Father, thank you that we could come into your presence, Father, and just spend time with you. Father, I just pray, Father, your blessing on each and every person in this hall, Father. I pray that, Father, your blessing will go with them throughout this week, Father. But they will really be spotlights in darkness, Father. They will really be salt to this world, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have an amazing week. Please, guys, this coffee. Enjoy yourself. If you're visiting for the first time, there's something sweet at the hospitality table. Don't miss out. Otherwise, I will go and get it. And I just ask you guys, please have respect. Don't care inside. Please go out and enjoy yourself. Go outside if you don't want to stay for ministry. Just allow the guys that want to meet with God the opportunity in silence. Thank you.